You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you guys are at out there on planet Earth in Radio Land. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. This is, of course, the Pill Reports radio broadcast. My name's JD. We are live right now. It is Monday. I know. It's happened to all of us once again, but we're going to get through it. Today, of course, is the 16th day of February, which makes it President's Day. I'm sure all of you guys are lining up for the parties tonight, all kinds of major celebrations going on. I'm just kidding. I don't know of anybody having a President's Day party. All I really know about President's Day is that I'm not going to get any mail. My garbage isn't going to get picked up and I can't go to the bank. So aside from that, I'm not really sure. I guess if you're a postman or a postwoman, today would be a good day because you get the day off. But, funny enough, as it is snowing like crazy in Missouri right now. And I love it. I have to tell you guys, I'm sure a lot of you guys know out there, I am not a fan of the cold. Don't like the cold. Really, I'm pretty comfortable saying I hate it with the passion of a thousand white hot burning suns. I don't like the cold, but I feel like if it's going to be cold, it might as well snow because at least snow is pretty. And there is really no shortage of pretty right now happening here in the Midwest. It is just beautiful outside. I mean, we're talking about big, heavenly, dumpy snowflakes and just love it. Love it, love it, love it. So, President's Day, no reason to go out of the house. You know, it's a Monday. That's another good reason to stay in. And now it's snowing. So, you know, go ahead and be snowed in. It's going to be a good day. I hope wherever you guys are at, you are warm and safe. Did you guys have a good Valentine's Day? Was it fun this weekend? You guys get to do some cool stuff, go on a date or something like that? I hope so. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Yeah, I had a great one. It was a great weekend. It was really short though. It seemed like that weekend just flew right by and here we are at Monday again. But I'm not really that upset about it and I'll tell you why. We've got a huge show today and a huge lineup of guests this week. So I am really, really thankful for all of you guys tuning into the program every day and sharing redpillreports.com with your friends. Just really makes a big difference for us here at the website and at the studio. But again, I told you guys last week, strap in, because this is going to be a big week this week. We've got some amazing guests lined up. First of all, today, Alana Freeland is going to be joining us. She is an author, and she has written a book about chemtrails, HARP, and the full-spectrum dominance of the entire planet. We're talking about the agenda of total control of the weather for manipulation and control by the powers that shouldn't be. And she has written, I mean, it is almost like a textbook, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much research, so many fantastic documents and photographs. If you're on the fence about what is going on in terms of you know, us being sprayed, some of the other projects in relation to HARP and then some of the newer things that are coming out now, this is going to be a great interview you're not going to want to miss. So I definitely highly recommend sticking around for the hour. She'll be here in about an hour, as I said, about 11 o'clock Central Time. She'll be joining us today. Tomorrow, Stuart Rhodes is going to be on, a man who needs very little introduction. He's obviously the head of the Oath Keepers. So that is going to be fantastic. We'll probably talk a little bit about some current events going on because there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of things happened over the weekend too. So we do have a lot to cover today, but, I always look forward to talking to Stuart. Very smart guy, and really just a good guy to talk to. So that'll be great. We're going to get to the bottom of this whole Ukraine situation, this whole NATO situation on Wednesday with who I consider to be probably the preeminent NATO expert on the planet right now. And one of my very good friends, Rick Rozoff, will be joining us from Chicago on Wednesday. It's going to be a history lesson and we're going to try and get back on track with figuring out what is going on in the Ukraine. A lot of developments over the weekend in that respect. And again, the United States still seeming to be hedging towards potential war with Russia over Ukraine. So lots to talk about. Then Thursday, Deborah Tavares is going to be here. Holy cow. I mean, strap in for that. We're going to be probably talking about some new aspect of Agenda 21. I know she is very, very concerned about the concept of limited water these days, which she does not believe, but she's also broken major ground in the coverage on smart meters. And I know the other day she did a really important show on pharmaceutical spraying, and that kind of correlates to some of the things that we're going to be talking about with Alana today too. So there are these agendas going on. There are things that we need to be paying attention to, and that's why we bring these guests to the table, because they are just absolutely the cutting edge, top of the class in terms of their research and things like that. I mean, Deborah Tavares, holy cow, there's nobody I know that's more documented in her research than Deborah Tavares. And then Friday, it's going to be an awesome show because Andrew Gause is going to be on. I love talking to Andrew on Fridays. He's kind of silly. We have a lot of fun, but we talk a lot about economics, and I'll tell you what, I don't know if you guys are paying attention right now, but wow, lots of economic things going on around the world. This whole Greece situation is really getting close to coming to a head. We've got collapsing retail numbers here in the United States again. Just all kinds of things to talk about with Andrew on Friday. So again, it's going to be a huge week. I really appreciate you guys tuning in every day, making this part of your daily dose of deprogramming. And I love, love, love all of you guys in the chat room. If you guys are listening to the program right now and want to get involved with some of the other listeners, or shoot questions or comments to myself or the guest a little bit later in the show, the chat room at Truth Frequency Radio is a perfect, perfect place for you to do that. And that's one of the main goals here with Red Pill Reports, is that we create a forum so that you guys can get some communication and get some information from good guests. And, you know, I'm just the guy here with the microphone. So I'm very, very thankful to Chris and Cherie Geo for getting that chat room set up, because it is just awesome. Okay. February 16th, covered that. President's Day, covered that. Valentine's Day, covered that. Lots of snow, covered that. Okay, so that's everything that's going on in my neck of the woods. Let's talk about what's going on around the world right now. And for new listeners, what we like to do in the first hour is just try and go over all of the headlines and give you guys some background on a lot of the stories that have developed over the weekend, especially here on a Monday. But we do this during the first hour. And if you go to redpillreports.com, you can go to the show section, find out a little bit more about the guest, Alana Freeland, today, find some of the links to her book, and do a little background before she comes on the show. But you can also follow along with all the articles that we're going to go over, because again, we try and make the website just a one-stop shopping source for everything that you could possibly need to know about what's going on around you guys right now. So that's what we're going to do right now, because it is the first hour and it is Monday, and that's what we do. So here we go. Major incident coming out of Copenhagen this weekend probably capitalized most of the news coverage, but at least one person was killed, six injured in a shooting in the Danish capital Saturday night. Again, this is in Copenhagen, with one attack targeting a cultural center there that was hosting a debate on Islam and free speech. The second incident, which was close to Copenhagen's main synagogue in the city center, saw one person shot in the head and two policemen also injured, police said in a statement early on Sunday. The 40-year-old man was killed by gunmen at the cultural center, and three police officers were wounded. So one 40-year-old man was the victim. It's not confirmed right now if the two incidents, which obviously just came a couple of weeks after the bloody Islamist attacks in Paris, or the alleged bloody Islamist attacks up in Paris. Nobody really can say right now whether or not these incidents are related. They very well could be, because there was this guy, Lars Vilks, who is a Swedish artist. He's an author of similar controversial Prophet Muhammad cartoons, similar to what happened, or what was being produced at Charlie Hebdo. He was actually at this debate when the shooting happened, and they're not really indicating whether or not he was a target of one of the bullets or anything like that. But again, it would be kind of a unusual coincidence if those events weren't related, or if it was not some sort of terrorist attack there. But that's what's going on in Copenhagen. And in the follow-up on Sunday, they did eventually track down the guy who shot at the synagogue, and they were able to kill him. He opened fire on police, but they did kill him. So again, that situation at least has been resolved, but I'm sure the people in Copenhagen are still on edge after such a crazy incident going down. It's not a city that's typically known for terrorist attacks or things like that. So very tragic, bad stuff going on there. Let's move on to Greece, because I know everybody's concerned about what is going on in Greece right now. And the Greek government has now agreed to an EU proposal to introduce a quote-unquote national reform plan to address the economic issues there that, according to them, have been neglected for decades. But this time, Greece will not accept a bailout program on the same terms as before. So again, we see the new Syriza-led Greek authorities saying that they won't agree to any Eurozone bailouts under the same constraints as the former governments did. So this national reform plan, again, going to be dealing with decades-long economic issues is required. So they are going to try and do something there in Greece, but again, they are not going to be bowing down to the Troika and accepting loans on the same type of terms with the same constraints that they have taken in the past. So again, that's great news for people of Greece, and it's great news for people who are stepping up against this authoritarian austerity measure implicating, powers that shouldn't be agenda that's going on right now. So anyway, Greece's new government won't go against its own people when it comes to labor and pension issues, just to fill orders from outsides, according to the new finance minister there in Greece. And the country's citizens right now are preparing to express their support for the new government with a rally planned for Sunday evening. It will take place in front of the parliament building as the cabinet discusses the national debt situation with creditors. And I think there will probably be people in the streets of Greece for a while these debates are going on. But it does look like things are going to be coming to a head there. What is Russia going to do if Greece decides that they are going to balk? See, that's a lot of people probably are still a little fuzzy on this, but the EU needs Greece to continue to vote for sanctions against Russia, right? So it's necessary for the EU to continue to have Greece involved. But Greece is not going to be involved if it costs them more money and it costs them more austerity measures, because the people are just not going to deal with it. So now you can see Putin on the side kind of starting to say, hey, Greece, if you decide to leave the euro and don't vote on more sanctions and, decide to integrate your economy with ours, well, we'll probably be in a position to help you along with some of the other BRICS members. So again, you really see the fracturing happening in the EU against especially the United States and the other, coalition members in the NATO regime. But again, it's just crazy to me. It's just crazy to me because you still see the United States hedging towards hedging their bets towards war, sending more equipment there, talking up NATO, sending they just sent tank busters back to Germany now for the NATO drills there. So again, we're positioning ourselves on the offensive in that respect, and I don't think that's going to happen. Or I don't think that's going to stop. So far, it should be said too, the ceasefire did come into effect yesterday in the Ukraine on the 15th, and so far so good is what the main moral story out of the Ukraine is right now. So far so good. There was apparently heavy shelling right up until the ceasefire was called at midnight. So we will see how long that ceasefire lasts. Again, the separatists in the east are saying that they don't really care about the ceasefire. So I think what will probably happen is we've either got it's kind of difficult to say. So the separatists on the east side that are saying they're not going to go along with the Minsk Accord, are those people that were paying to do that? Are they people that are already under the thumb of the United States? Because again, if the Kiev side of Ukraine says we're not going to attack the eastern side for a while, we're going to go, well, that's going to give the opportunity for the people on the west side to fortify their positions, to rearm themselves, get medical, get organized again, things like that. And I can't imagine that they're not going to be doing that. So I'm wondering if Ukraine just sees them bolstering their defenses in anticipation of a failure in the ceasefire, that Ukraine won't just take that as a sign to continue ahead. And I think with the amount of vested interest that the United States and NATO has in Ukraine right now, in just about anything could set this tinderbox off. So I guess we're just kind of looking for absolutely anything to go down right now over there. Moving on to Iran. Iran right now is apparently close to deploying an early warning radar system of its own. This is similar to the ones that we have here in the United States. There's a lot of them all over the country. But the Iranian military has been lacking an early warning radar system to detect missile launches and stealth aircraft and drones thousands of kilometers from its borders. And right now, they are just about ready to fully deploy the SEFAR radar system to secure Iran's entire airspace. They are introducing the most long-range sky-phased array radar system that they've ever had. It's capable of controlling airspaces, all of its neighbor countries in the Middle East and Central Asia, as well as vast parts of Northern Africa, Eastern Europe, and Russia. So it's got a range of about 3,000 kilometers and a distance up into space of about 300 kilometers. So they will definitely be amping up the country's airspace security when they get this thing up and running. But again, you know, we're still in negotiations with them right now. It does not appear to be going well, and by us in negotiations, I mean obviously Obama and the administration talking to Iran, trying to get them to, you know, simmer down on their desire to develop nuclear weapons. But it does not look like that's going very well. And of course, now, you know, Iran is still actively working on their defense measures so that they can be protected in their soil. So again, you see all these countries that are just hedging their bets towards war, hedging their bets towards protection. It makes a lot of sense to me, makes a lot of sense, but that's what's going on in Iran right now. Lots and lots of protests again going on in Spain over the weekend. We've talked about this a few times, but Spain is trying to pass these pretty ridiculous protest laws right now, fines of up to 600,000 euros. €600,000 and prison sentences are potentially going to be introduced right now for certain offenses and organizing illegal rallies. So somebody who would be guilty of organizing a rally that the government didn't like there, $600,000 fine. That's like 640,000 US. That's, I mean, just for organizing a rally, that's absolutely crazy. So, and again, the Spaniards agree with me. There was a big march took place in Madrid. Protesters are out blowing whistles, banging drums, marching towards the square in the central of the capital. Organizers of the protest called for demonstrators to take the streets in 20 other cities around Spain. And the government, as I mentioned, has introduced the legislation to beef up security and clamp down on dissent at a time when Spain is suffering from its worst recession for decades and soaring mass unemployment. Those opposed to the law say the government is not allowing their viewpoints to be heard, and I think that's probably pretty accurate. People are saying that they are gagging dissident voices, and they want to fine citizens who do not resign themselves to, you know, doing what the party line insists that they do. The legislation will also see a 600 euro fine for showing lack of respect to anyone in uniform while the photography, while the photographing or filming of police officers is going on where there could be danger around them. So again, listen to the terms. They're saying you get a 600 euro fine for showing lack of respect to anyone in a uniform while photographing or filming police officers where they could be put in danger. So what is a lack of respect? How do you define that? What is danger, quote unquote, to a police officer? And it also, oh man, I totally misread this sentence incorrectly. I apologize. Let's do this again. 600 euro fine simply for showing lack of respect to anyone in uniform. While photography or filming of officers where they could be put in danger will incur a 30,000 euro fine. So lack of respect to someone in uniform, 600 euro fine. If you photograph them or film them where they could be, you know, they could be saying that they feel like they're in danger, that could carry with it a fine of $30,000, 30,000 euros, $34,000 American. And the lower house of parliament has already passed this new proposed law back in December with 181 members supporting the motion and 141 against. The Senate right now is set to vote on whether to pass the bill in the next few weeks. With the conservative Popular Party currently enjoying a majority in both houses, it is likely that the motion will pass. So again, lots of people pouring into the streets all over Spain right now, and who can blame them? These laws are just absolutely draconian. That is unbelievable. I mean, a $30,000 fine for photographing the police, I mean, they don't even care if you're press or not. That's just absolutely crazy. I mean, that is about the most draconian crackdown on free speech I've ever heard. And so I definitely, I hope if you're in Spain, you're participating in these rallies, because that just cannot be allowed to pass. There's some new evidence coming out of Venezuela right now. They actually put it on their TV, showing a video of a potential coup plot, as well as 10-year U.S. visas granted to one of these people who are accused of potentially plotting a coup there in Venezuela. So the president of Venezuela's National Assembly, Mr. Caballo, he presented further evidence of a right-wing plot to overthrow the Bolivian government Friday night. Caballo presented evidence of the foiled plans, including videos showing the members of the military prior to recording a message announcing that the military no longer recognized the government. All right. The video which was supposed to be aired after the planned attacks had been carried out, was to have been televised by a station either in Venezuela or Miami. And Cabello has shown also that a 10-year U.S. visa was given to one of these people who was detained for allegedly putting this coup together just days before the plan was supposed to be implemented. Cabello said that the member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and a member of the U.K. Diplomatic Corps in Venezuela had been involved in these plans, including seeking information on airport capacity in case of emergency. So according to Venezuelan intelligence, these computers seized a military detractor's revealed maps from the places where the opposition was plotting to carry out attacks, including the presidential palace and the headquarters of TELESUR in Caracas. And Venezuelan President Maduro announced Thursday that the government had thwarted a coup attempt, and it was being coordinated by Venezuela's right-wing opposition with the support of the U.S. government, the U.K. government, and as well as Canada. So there you go. We have officially destabilized the government in Venezuela. Well, how did we do that? By imposing sanctions on Venezuela, and also by working with our buddies over at OPEC to crash the price of oil. Obviously, oil is about 80% of Venezuela's economy. They are having major problems in Venezuela in terms of their economy right now. And so what have we done? We destabilized them. We've ruined their economy. And now us working with Canada, and it looks like the UK as well, attempted to carry out a coup down there. And does that surprise anybody? No, that's par for the course. That's exactly how this whole program has been operating for such a long time. First you go in and you offer them loans and tell them, you know, about the austerity, and you offer them those things. Maduro obviously said take a long walk offshore pier. And so then what happens? Well, the sanctions start, and then we start talking about human rights atrocities, and we frame the sanctions on these humanitarian crises and things like that. And so then their economy goes south, and then you either get the popular uprising, right? You get the people who are so tired of living under these regimes that they uprise and revolt against their government, obviously backed by the United States and whoever else wants to instill regime change down there. Or what else do? You go in and you attempt a coup from behind the scenes. And it looks like that's what we did, and it didn't apparently work. So we'll see if they go back to plan B, which of course would have been the popular uprising, which they have tried to do for the last year down there. They've had, popular, I can't think of the guy's name right now, but there is a populist party that is the government there right now. So probably being funded by George Soros and things like that, because that's just how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sure most of you guys out there listening already know that, but that's what I know about that. And then a little news from Australia right now. Australia is discontinuing water and electricity service for Aboriginals there. The Australian government has decided to discontinue the provision of water and electricity supplies to about 200 Indigenous communities, saying it can no longer afford the basic services. And so the remote communities located in the northern tip of Australia and the Kimberley area, the country's northwest, will be deprived of essential services with the decision of the federal government. According to Vice News, they reported this on Tuesday of last week. And meanwhile, Western Australia state government has also said that it cannot afford to cover the costs either. So they're estimating that some of the 274 communities in the state, perhaps as many as 200, will have to close. So there you go. That's not good things coming out of Australia right now, but not enough money to supply electricity and water to the people. But I bet there's lots of money to do all kinds of other things. Tell you what, Australia's got some major resources too. I've always wanted to have a metal detector, just as a side note, and I sometimes watch these videos of these guys finding gold in Western Australia, and it is staggering. Do you guys know the largest gold nugget ever found in the world was found in Western Australia? And it was literally like sitting on top of the ground, 216 pounds. 216-pound gold nugget. Just unbelievable. But you go online, YouTube, you can just look up, you know, gold nuggets in Western Australia, and you will want to move there, because they're literally, you just see pictures of guys walking down a trail, and there's a 4-ounce, you know, huge nugget just hanging out in the sun. Just absolutely crazy. Okay, let's move on to some national news right now. We are getting close to a break here. Really appreciate you guys hanging out with me today. It is a kind of a dreary Monday. The snow has finally stopped here in Missouri, but it is pretty, so I'm happy about that. But again, appreciate you guys hanging with me here for a Monday. Bad news coming out of New York City right now. The New York City streak of 12 days without a homicide has ended. A 28-year-old Queens man died on Saturday from gunshot wounds he sustained on Friday. And the man, Eric Roman, had been found at his home on 89th in Woodhaven. He was shot in the head, hand, and leg. He died at Jamaica Hospital. But the last homicide before that was on the 1st of February, when a 28-year-old man was fatally shot on West 136th Street in Harlem. 12 days without a homicide is the longest stretch known since at least the 1990s in New York. So I guess some congratulations are in order. Let's hope they can let's push that boundary if we can there, guys. It seems nice that a lot of people are getting along. I'll tell you what it is that it's probably really too cold to go outside there right now. And there's really no reason to get agitated and go out and do anything when there's snow on the ground and it's irritatingly cold outside. So hopefully maybe the weather has something to do with this. Just hard to say at this point. Moving on, let's find out. Oh, man. There potentially was a pretty big event that occurred at the CIA headquarters this weekend. And again, there's not a lot of news coming out about this, but some people that were in the area, residents of Virginia, took some pictures of the CIA headquarters. It looked like it was surrounded by police tape and was in complete lockdown over the weekend. There was not any patrol cars or anything like that. They had all the gates shut. No indication as to what exactly happened there, but CIA was surrounded by police tape at some point this weekend for a couple of hours. So who knows what happened at the CIA. Lots of weird things kind of going on in the clandestine world, I think, right now. So anyway, we've got to go to a quick 3-minute break. We're going to come back and talk about some more news. We've got economic stuff, lots of science stuff. What about telescopic contact lenses? Yes! How cool is that? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Anyway, 3-minute break, guys. Thanks for being here. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast for the 16th day of February. Keep it right here. Lots more news to come, and Alana Freeland joining us in about a half an hour. Stay tuned, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Squared Radio in Brooks, Hackney.
Sunday on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Really appreciate you guys in the chat room as well at truthfrequencyradio.com. Just so nice to be able to chat with you guys over the break and get some comments and feedback on articles and things like that. We're going to jump back into the news, talking about lots of stuff to cover today. So I'm going to try and jump ahead here just a little bit. But there's a new bill that's been introduced in the Senate. We have to talk about this really quickly because I think this is really good. But this is the Constitutional Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act, which is a fantastic title. I love it. What they're essentially trying to do right now is to create concealed carry reciprocity across the country. You have one test. It'd be just like a driver's license. If you get a driver's license in Texas, you can go drive in California. If you have a concealed weapons permit in Texas, you should also be able to carry a concealed weapons in California. So again, there's now a bill been introduced at the Senate. Who knows if it's going to get any water or carry any, you know, get any traction. But it does make common sense. And anytime somebody introduces a bill, this particular senator was John Cornyn, of course, from Texas. He's the leading or the second ranking Republican in the upper chamber there. But anytime somebody like that introduces a bill that's, you know, stems from common sense, we kind of have to throw some support behind it. And again, so this Constitutional Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act, something we ought to all look into and try and get on top of and support. Also, want to talk about the situation that happened last week in Pasco, Washington, with the shooting of the young man who was allegedly throwing rocks at the officers. The coroner there has now opened up an inquest into the shooting. This is not something that happens. This is actually only the third inquest into a shooting in this 20-year coroner's career there in Pasco, Washington. And I really can't agree with this one enough. I've seen the video again. The young man looks like he's running away. Even if the young man had been throwing rocks at the officers, you know, that's not a capital offense crime. So shooting him 13 times in front of women and children, out in front of people where a stray bullet could hit somebody else, obviously, clearly irresponsible, negligence to the max. And these people need to go to jail as far as I'm concerned. And I'm getting really tired of seeing stories like this. But it's for some reason we just can't seem to get away from them because they just keep happening. So, moving on, I wanted to touch bases really quick on this DUI checkpoint story. It came out a couple of weeks ago. I put the video down at the bottom of the news section a couple of weeks ago about this Florida lawyer who is encouraging people on a better way to go through these DUI checkpoints. Hey, thanks, Kev. Kev Baker right now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only in the chat room. You guys could be talking to him too. Anyway, so this lawyer essentially says, you know, you don't have to roll your windows down. And we had this story where the gentleman was rolling through the checkpoints and he had put all of his things in a Ziploc baggie and was hanging them outside your window. Stems from the fact that most state laws say that you need to display your driver's license. There's really no requirement to actually physically hand over your driver's license. But I wanted to point that out because although this video that was included with the article, and obviously this attorney from Florida believes that this is the right way to do things, sometimes your state laws are different. So it's important before you go out and just get, you know, first of all, if you're driving intoxicated, don't do this. This is not what this is. This isn't a get out of jail free card so you can drive around drunk. But this is for people who don't want to be forced into conversations with law enforcement officers against their will. So again, putting all of your documents into a flyer form or into a Ziploc bag and having a flyer in there that says, I remain silent, no searches, I want my lawyer. You know, I think it's going to work for a little while, but there are a lot of police officers that say that seeing something like that would probably make them more suspicious in one of these non-constitutional DUI checkpoints. So again, just wanted to point that out, that although that lawyer is still in the news talking about how it's such a great deal, you need to pay attention to your own state laws, because you could get into more trouble than it's really worth. And I just wanted to point that out, although I do believe that there are ways to get through DUI checkpoints without necessarily cowing down to the quote-unquote authority figures. Okay, moving on to – we're trying to go quick today, guys. I got only 20 minutes and a lot more stuff to cover. But it got weird this weekend. Got really weird this weekend, guys. I'm not joking. John Podesta. You know who John Podesta is? He's an outgoing senior advisor to President Obama. He's been reflecting on the time that he's been spent in the White House over the last, you know, the course of his career. And last Friday, in a countdown of regrets, he actually was tweeting out some of the things that he regretted that he was unable to accomplish while, working for Obama. And the number one thing, this is weird, the number one failure, he says his biggest failure of 2014 was not securing the disclosure of the UFO files. Are you kidding me? As a senior outgoing member, advisor for the Obama administration, and that's his number one regret, is not disclosing the UFO files. That's weird. I don't know about you guys, but I think that's weird. And I would encourage it. I'd love to see it. It'd be really cool to see. But it tells you that at least it's been batted around in the Oval Office. They've talked about, disclosing stuff. But I think there's probably too much money to be made by the kids over at DARPA to just let all the cats out of the bag at once. Anywho, moving on again, there's a good story coming out of California. I've covered this before, but I want to cover it again because right now there are 9 men who are on trial for growing marijuana illegally on private land and on federal land. The men are arguing that the charges of $10 million fine and life in prison should obviously be dropped because marijuana right now is inaccurately classified by the U.S. government. Obviously, the U.S. government classifies it as a Schedule 1 substance, which means it has no medicinal value whatsoever. It's completely worthless. It's on the same scale as heroin and LSD and ecstasy and all of that. But there's a problem with that. Mostly it's that the Surgeon General came out last week and said, man, maybe we should probably look at some science, because it actually does stand to reason that marijuana is a medicine. And it's, you could go look at Miss Charlotte Fiji there in Colorado, who hasn't had an epileptic seizure in about a year because she's been taking cannabis oil. So yeah, federal government saying it's got no medicinal value and it's scheduled, as Schedule 1. But right now, this judge, Kimberly Mueller, she is listening to these guys. For the first time ever on a federal level, they are actually listening, and she's going to allow these guys and the defense attorneys to present information that says that the scheduling of the drug is where this big fine is coming from, and that scheduling itself is inaccurate. And so this particular case has got a real potential to set some precedent here. And the fact that she's being so open-minded about it, and the fact that she's allowing this to kind of go forward, I love it. She's right now promising to deliver a ruling within 30 days, and this article just came out yesterday. So, that's really what we need to do, is we need to get on a federal level this thing reclassified so we can start doing actual medical research. A lot of people don't understand that if it's classified as Schedule 1 and we're trying to find out if there's medicinal value, people aren't even allowed to study it. I mean, that's kind of the long and the short of it. Obviously, they're getting around those rules now in places like Colorado and Alaska and Oregon, Washington, California, and a slew of others. But federally, technically, they're not allowed to be having the substance to do any kind of medicinal studies on it right now, which is why we're in this catch-22 of it being still classified as Schedule 1. So hopefully somebody will pull their heads out of the sand and make this happen. So there was a huge storm, obviously, Boston. Guys got walloped over the weekend, probably just coming to an end. I have more bad news, and I'm sorry to have to say this again, but it does look like by the end of the week, you guys are going to get hit by another storm, and they're actually calling for hurricane-force blizzards. And I know that nobody in Boston wants to hear that right now. They have so much snow that they don't have any place to put it. I've heard of drifts literally 4 stories high in Boston right now because they don't have any place left to put it. And looks like the weather report for the week shows one day this week above freezing. So not going to be any good news in sight for the people up there in the Northeast. I hope that you guys are all staying safe, keeping your roofs clean and things like that, but I don't even know what to tell you guys at this point. Snowiest season ever for Boston since they started keeping records, which is kind of surprising because you would think that Boston would be, you know, used to knee-deep snow all the time. That's the impression that I have of it, but I guess that's why generalization is not always a good thing, I guess. I want to talk about this quick story from Brooklyn, too. They are building the largest rooftop garden in the world in the city of Brooklyn. This is a new hydroponic greenhouse that's going to be set atop an old warehouse in Brooklyn near Sunset Park. It's supposed to begin construction this fall, and it just might transform New York City into the new model for urban agriculture. Again, this is going to be the largest rooftop garden in the world, looking at about 100,000 square feet and producing 1 million pounds of produce a year from inside of Brooklyn. How cool is that? I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Technology, local food. Ah, it's just got all the good things that I like to have, like to read about. Okay, let's move on. Let's see what is going on in the markets today. Come on, computer. Come on, computer. Let's do it. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to get to the markets here real quick, guys. I didn't get the indices up yet. Let's see. Lots of speculation about whether or not China is going to depeg from the dollar. It's kind of a hit or miss right now. Nobody really would understand what China's money would be worth. Remember, nobody really understands because price discovery has been thwarted, obviously, by its peg to the dollar. So, again, we're kind of waiting to see what currency is going to be the next one to go ahead and depeg from the dollar. A lot of people starting to think that the renminbi might be it. I want to jump over to the Dow right now. It is up about 46 points. We're sitting at 18,019. S&P is near 2,100 for the day. So I guess that's a good sign if you're in the markets. Gold, 1231, up about $4 today. Still a big drawback. Kind of unusual. Stocks going pretty well right now. It's kind of unusual. I guess I don't know where to go with that, but it's just kind of unusual to me that, that we have safe haven buying in equities. It seems concerning, but, $17 will get you some silver right now. $17.30 to be exact. Bitcoin, went up a little bit. $234 for some Bitcoin, and the euro fell just a touch against the dollar. 1.139 is where we're sitting at with the euro dollar conversion. There's a great article also in IntelliHub today talking about a new investment model, and it's really not a new investment model, but it's talking about storable food. A lot of people probably, like me, are thinking, hey, gas prices are down. Obviously, food prices are going to come down. Wrong. Up almost 0.5% just in November. We just hit 16th of November today. We're halfway through the month, and all of the food prices across the board are up almost 0.5% already. Somebody figure that out. Somebody explain that to me. When gas prices drop 50% and food prices continue to rise, there is something going on that is not being explained and my brain can't handle it. But anyway, food, guys, storable food. This is the time to do it. Food prices are still going up. You've got your surplus because you got a little extra gas money. You know, get some storable food. I cannot recommend Numana highly enough. Our good friend Daniel Brigman there created probably the best storable food in the world. It's the best tasting for sure. GMO free and, you know, all holistic, just really, really good stuff. And, I highly recommend that, man. I tell you what, I gave it for Christmas and, bless my dad's heart. My dad, I'll tell you what my dad's biggest pet peeve in the whole world is storing stuff, putting it in the garage, putting something on a shelf. He hates it. So I gave him this big thing of storable food thinking, oh, you know, you guys, just in case it's a, you know, a 2 month supply just in case. And he's like, do you mean I have to store it? I said, no, you could take it home and eat it all if you want to, but you know, if you wanted to store it, if you needed food, you know, storage, security, wealth and plastic, it might be a good idea. You mean I have to store it? Oh man, it's just so funny. Love my dad. But, hopefully he's got some storable food and hasn't really ducked into it yet. But anyway, think about getting some storable food. Think about, just being prepared for stuff right now. We still have the, earthquake threat. We've got the whole, Yellowstone eruption, threat that's going on right now. Lots of reasons to have storable food, lots of reasons to have your water supply, ready to go, all that kind of stuff. moving on here. Let's get to see what's going on in, oh, we have probably ought to talk about the West Coast port situation. They closed down over the weekend again. They went on to a partial port closing over the holiday weekend. If you go look at, some of the pictures from the bays around California, it looks like a storage boat parking lot. I mean, there are just absolutely hundreds of storage vessels sitting out in the water, not approaching the docks, just hanging out. And what's interesting about this is that that actually was initiated about 10 days ago with the, you know, the initial port disruptions, the unions basically calling for a lockout and a walkout, and that's what they did. And Zero Hedge called that like 10 days ago, said this is going to be a problem. We're going to see the dry bulk market index start drying up, and it's going to be a problem. And nobody else seemed to cover it. And then all of a sudden, over the weekend, wouldn't you know it, Goldman Sachs has come out and said, hey, this might be an issue. This is something that we ought to pay attention to. They actually said that the West Coast port disruptions likely to cloud outlooks as quarter four earnings approach, right? So that's from Goldman Sachs. Port slowdowns intensifying and risk heightened across the retail space. That was from Credit Suisse. So now you see all these banks who are coming in and saying, we can pinpoint a scapegoat here if something goes bad. But again, you know, the ports are not working at full capacity right now, which is going to affect the distribution of products all the way across the country. And so probably another reason that food prices are going up is because of this. But is it orchestrated? Is it part of the scheme? Is it something that they can need to have in their, you know, the ace up the hole so they have something as a scapegoat to blame an economic downturn on? I don't know. We've had enough polar vortexes or at least really crappy weather up in the northwest, or the northeast, excuse me. So I would imagine they could use that as some sort of scapegoat if they wanted to. But I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. We'll skip on that one. There was a hedge fund manager who faked his own death recently to get away from SEC investigations. So that's kind of interesting. This guy had allegedly stolen about $850 million from investors. And so he was running an apparent fraud, went to great lengths to avoid giving investors their money back, including telling the investors that he had died of a heart attack or that he was part werewolf. Okay, so I'm just going to – I know maybe you guys are smarter than I am. I don't know, but here's the deal. So when investors asked for their money back, this guy started pulling tricks to keep the money, such as saying that he had died or comparing himself to a werewolf. So here's the deal. If you are involved with some kind of hedge fund management scheme, right, and this guy, again, Malik is the name of this gentleman, he was saying – and actually, Bloomberg even reported that his particular hedge fund had a return of about 92.73%. 92% return. That's ridiculous. That is an amazing return on your investment. So here's the deal. If somebody comes up to you and says, I've got this hedge fund that you really ought to be a part of, because last year I returned 92.73%, but there is the potential that I might be a werewolf. Those are red flags, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'm not trying to put too fine a point on this, but again, if somebody says they can earn you almost 100% on your money, but that there's potential that they're part werewolf, just turn around, walk away. That's not an investment that I think you should be in part of. And again, I'm not an investment attorney. I'm not, you know, I'm not somebody who knows a lot about money, but again, if he tells you he's a werewolf, I'd probably shy away from that as an investment. Just a tip from your Uncle JD today, ladies and gentlemen. Hope that steers somebody in the right direction out there. Let's jump over into some science news. Holy cow, so much stuff to cover right now. Let's get this thing up on my screen. Telescopic contact lenses. I'm going to say that again. Telescopic contact lenses. You wink once to zoom, and the telescopic contact lens lets the wearer switch between normal and magnifying vision, and they are coming into focus right now. The latest prototype, unveiled at the AAAS annual meeting in San Jose, California, could one day help people with visual impairments. The lenses might be particularly useful for people with macular degeneration, which is a debilitating condition in which people gradually lose their central vision. And it is the leading cause of visual impairment in the UK and affects millions of people worldwide. But development by this team, led by Eric Tremblay at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, it is a rigid contact lens. It covers the whites of the eyes. It covers the entire eyeball, right? Making it much larger than an ordinary contact lenses. But within it are these tiny aluminum mirrors arranged in a ring around the center. And when light streams through them, the mirrors bounce it around several times, causing the objects to look 2.8 times larger than they really are. Unbelievable. And the toggle between the magnified and normal views, the lens has to be worn with a pair of electronic glasses, and then you wink with one eye makes the glasses switch to a polarizing filter that directs the light into the telescopic part of the lenses, and then winking with the other eye switches the setting back to let light pass through normally. So what's what I think is interesting about this is there's no way that our spies don't already have these. I mean, there's no way that they're going to put this on, you know, regular mainstream news as if it's something that's coming out. You have to imagine that somewhere some agent has got the ability to zoom in with their eyeballs 2.8 times. That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's a cool piece of technological breakthrough as far as I'm concerned. I really like that. Mattel and Google are teaming up right now, and I think this is kind of neat too. Mattel, obviously an old toy company, hasn't been around. Well, they've been around, but you probably maybe don't think about them very much anymore. But they've now announced a partnership with Google to upgrade a classic toy. Remember the ViewMaster? Remember that orange thing? You hold it up to your face, and then you push that little switch on the side, or that little it was like a little lever, and it would rotate the cardboard disc inside, and you could see like a 3D view of you know, wherever animals or whatever it is that you're looking at. Well, they're going to upgrade that, and they're going to make it essentially a 3D virtual reality, you know, augmented reality content created for kids and for families, and it's going to work very similar to the same way that the old one did, but it's going to be digital, and it's going to have more interaction. They'll have little scripts pop up to tell you about things that you're looking at, and apparently they're going to be pretty darn cool. So I do like this. They're only about $30 right now. For the viewer, you get one reel, and then there's going to be additional reels, but again, they're moving the entire ViewMaster program to digital. And I think that was a cool toy when I was a kid. I really liked it. I had one. And so I encourage them to do something cool with that. Let's see what else is going on in the crazy world here. There's a new thermostat on the market that does not regulate temperature, but it regulates your monthly bill. So you actually just go up and tell the thermostat how much you would like to pay for your monthly bill, and it aims to keep your house as comfortable as possible without overstepping your pay scale that you put into it. Right now, it's being developed. It's called ThermoneyStat. You can find it on Kickstarter. It's going to be about $300, but if you wanted to order it soon, you could get in for about $200. But kind of a neat thing. If you are really money conscious, you could put this thermostat in your home, and then it will actually look at your bottom dollar line in terms of how it is going to regulate the temperature in your home. So very kind of cool, I guess. Oh, man, this is not a good story. What about robo-police as early as 2016 in the streets of your city? Yeah, I'm not kidding at all. By 2016, there will most likely be a 6-foot-tall police robot patrolling the streets and handing out parking tickets. This story comes from Justin Gardner over at InfoWars, and he has done a fantastic job of pulling all this information together. But he's saying very specifically that by 2016, there will likely be a 6-foot-tall police robot patrolling the streets and handing out parking tickets. It's called Telebot, and it's developed by a Florida International University Discovery Lab, and it has been field-tested and is currently right now undergoing final tune-ups. It has a swiveling head, dexterous fingers. It is a humanoid robot. It's controlled remotely by a person wearing an Oculus Rift-style headset and motion-tracking vest, arm, band, and gloves. And the voice of the remote operator is transmitted through the robot to whoever the unfortunate citizen is on the receiving end. And it does look menacing, and that is not an accident, according to the people at Telebot. It is designed to look intimidating, and it is designed to display a sense of authority. And the justification for this, and I think Justin calls it pretty well here. He says, let's just call it RoboCop, because that's exactly what it is. It's, the appeal here, the justification is couched in appeals to sympathy to help disabled officers and veterans, you know, quote unquote, get back on the job. But the reality is that it introduces a whole nother level of intimidation to the increasingly militarized police state and brings us one step closer to a dystopian future where autonomous robots carry out law enforcement. And that is exactly where we're going right now. I don't like it. I don't like it. The fully autonomous robot officer, again, already in the works. It is the Nightscope K5. It does not wield weapons, but serves as a total surveillance machine for cops or private clients. It has facial recognition, scans 1,500 license plates a minute, captures audio, 360-degree video, tests the air for chemicals, and maps its surroundings with 3D radar and laser. It can also learn to distinguish suspicious activities from normal activities. Wow, it is a brave new world, ladies and gentlemen. If somebody out there can stop the planet, I would like to get off, if that's okay with you guys. I'm pretty much over it at this point. I don't ever want to see a 6-foot-tall RoboCop walking down the street. That is not a good thing. Let's talk about one thing that is a good thing. The Anonymous hacking group is right now planning on mounting a major campaign against this pedophile ring in the UK. So, again, Anonymous is the, you know, non-centralized collective of quote unquote hacktivists. And, right now they are going to try to expose the pedophile ring believed to include all the politicians and members of the royal family there, as well as celebrities and other well-respected key figures in the highest echelons of society. Pardon me. Anyway, so Anonymous mounting a campaign against pedophiles, and I'll tell you what, there's a target everybody can agree with. I don't know how you could possibly argue with them about wanting to get that information out. I think it's just absolutely disgusting what's going on over there, and the fact that it's being covered up is ridiculous, and I can't really support them enough at this point. We got to talk about a huge hack that was reported over the weekend as well. Some $300 million were apparently stolen from 100 banks in 30 different countries in the year 2013. I don't know why they're just releasing all of this now, but the alleged attack was allegedly carried out by European, Russian, and Chinese hackers who used malicious software to penetrate the banking system. So again, kind of an old story, but banking system still not completely secure, I guess would be what we're going to say about that. I want to talk about, man, we just always run out of time here, guys. I apologize. Got to go to redpillreports.com, check out the show section, because there's so many news articles there that we can't get to, and a lot of great health stuff today. They've found new particles at the Hadron Collider. So that's kind of an interesting story. These were particles that they thought already existed theoretically, but they were able to find them just this week. what else? Portland has got a really unique technological piping system that they're putting in all over the city. In any place where water naturally runs through piping downhill, they put generators on so they can start generating power for parks and city businesses and things like that. So this is actually pretty ingenious. Obviously, it wouldn't work if you were pumping against it, because it would be it would be a moot point. But in places where water flows downhill around Portland, they are now putting these pipes in that have got turbines inside of them, so that water flow actually is recapturing electricity. Very, very cool. And again, love seeing technology moving in the right direction. Seems like a really simple idea that somebody should have had a long time ago. But anyway, that's pretty much it for the news today, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to go to a 3-minute break, and when we come back, Alana Freeland is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about geoengineering, about HAARP, and about some of the other platforms of deployment that are going on right now that we don't talk about, that aren't in any other books. So definitely stick around for this. This is going to be a good discussion, you guys. Keep it right here. 3-minute break. We'll be right back, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to OurUniversalJourney.com.au.
Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Wherever you are, make it Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3 minute break. And all of you guys who have found your way into the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com, really appreciate you guys being in there as well. Very, very excited to be bringing Alana Freeland back onto the show today. Last time we had her on, we had a little bit of a communication issue and we didn't get as much accomplished as I was hoping to. So I'm very excited that she was willing to come back onto the program, and we're going to try and get this done correctly today. Her connection is fantastic. So we're very, very excited and very happy to have all of you guys joining along with us. For you folks out there who don't know Alana Freeland, she has been a Waldorf school pioneer, storyteller, lecturer, and a writer for a very long time. She's written for alternative publications, and for the past 2 decades has ghostwritten books on diverse topics and edited stories of survivors of MKUltra and ritual abuse. She's also the author of her own Sub Rosa America series, a fictional history of the United States since John F. Kennedy's assassination. And in 96, she was actually awarded a Master of Arts in Great Books from St. John's College in Santa Fe, New Mexico, including honors for her thesis in historiography. And Feral House has released her newest book, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, which is going to be the discussion of our, or the topic of our discussion today. She's also had Nexus Magazine recently published her articles on electromagnetic weapons, and she's also now begun research on a sequel to this book talking about the ionospheric heating technology, chemtrails, and the quote-unquote space fence, which is definitely something we're going to have to get into today. So first and foremost, Alana, thank you so much for joining us again on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast.
Oh, thanks for having me, JD.
Well, absolutely. Again, this is this to me is one of those topics, Alana, that it it's 2015 right now, and this one continues to boggle my mind. I told you the other day I was talking to one of my neighbors, and let's just start first of all. We've got 7 inches of snow on the ground, and last weekend it was 75 degrees here. Okay, so anyway, on the 75 degree day, it was beautiful, just like Missouri has a tendency to be on the weekends. But it was out early in the morning, and I was talking to my neighbor from across the street, just kind of, you know, being out, being neighborly, and the planes were up. The planes were just starting, probably 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and they're starting to lay the stripes, and you can see it going up. And I kind of pointed it out. I said, you know, oh, they took the weekend off, but now they're, you know, they're back up on a Sunday. It's funny that, you know, I wonder what they get paid. And this lady was just like, what are you talking about? What do you mean they're spraying us? And I was just like, wow, you're from Missouri. You recognize, you have to, because I'm coming up on 40 years old. And I remember when I was a kid, deep, I'm talking majestically deep, beautiful blue skies, stuff that would just inspire you because it was like looking out into space, which technically is exactly what it was, but just awe-inspiringly beautiful blue skies. And I have not seen one here in Missouri in like 20 years, but there are still people out there, Alana, that don't even understand the most simple, to me, the most simple and explainable aspect of this whole geoengineering thing. And it's just, all it takes is looking up. Why do people have this big cognitive dissonance, barrier to looking up and understanding that that's not normal, Alana? What do you think?
Well, I think that you just said the magic word, cognitive dissonance. I mean, Americans have been subjected to, 75 years of television now, movies that are, as a woman told me once, are written now in-house, which, you know, the CIA has been involved in Operation Mockingbird since the Cold War, and Operation Mockingbird is simply a control over all mainstream media, including film, television, newspapers, magazines. I mean, ever since that National Security Act of 1947 was passed and the CIA was created out of the OSS, we have now had a democracy, a democratic republic that has been eroded down to a population that are simply trying to keep their eyes ahead. They are so inundated and so overwhelmed by all the news and all the crazy false flag events that are being created and churned out like a machine. I mean, I don't get irritated with people anymore because I understand their condition, and it is that cognitive dissonance. It's that, well, then this reality is true, so then this reality must be true. But how can I retain two realities? I trust my government. I don't trust my government. Well, in most cases, people know not to trust the government now. There have been just too many things coming down the pike that indicate that power politics and corruption have overtaken Washington, D.C. But it's still scary to people to consider that here we have realities just going on wherever you live. The cars are going, everybody's going to work, things are going on. Maybe they're getting eroded a little. They're getting not as easy anymore. The mortgage payment is a little harder. But basically, we don't have chaos like the kind we're being fed on our 1984 televisions, like what's going on in Ukraine.
Yes. And that
if we had that, Americans would be sharply awakened. But as long as they can keep going, that cognitive dissonance just holds them in a sort of stupor. A spellbound stupor. And awakening is painful. I mean, I'm the first one to say to people, awakening is painful. But here I am, two decades into this study of the American government and what the plans are for the future. And really, I'm stronger than ever. I'm more awake than ever.
Yes.
And I'm not cynical. I simply look for the patterns and the facts that indicate patterns, and that I'm willing to accept that this is my time. I did not come here for convenience and comfort. I came here, I didn't know I came here for a battle for humanity in the future, but that's really what it is.
Boy, I gotta say, you said a mouthful, first of all, this morning, and I'm just so thankful for you to come out and have that kind of stance because, again, I completely agree with you in that once you kind of wake up, it's a very scary deal because you're presented now with all of these choices about whether or not you're going to continue to live in a lie or you're going to recognize what's going on around you and start working towards truth and light and, you know, in the bringing forth reality to the people that are around you. And it can be very difficult because once you understand what's going on and you start making decisions based on what you understand, and then you have to deal with all these other people in society who are making decisions based on things that are completely irrelevant, that are, you know, either being fomented by the news or the media. And you can see why we're so divided right now. But I'm really glad that you brought that up because the more people that we have who are at least awake and aware and understand the risk that comes along with that, that's what we need to move forward into the future. We need people like that who will say, yes, this is very scary, but I had to make a decision to go ahead and live in truth, and that's where we're going to go from here. And, you know, if everybody can direct their compasses in that way, man, what a difference it would make. I want to come back to this book, though, that you've written. I mean, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a book that is absolutely encompasses everything that you could possibly want to know about not just the spraying from the airlines, but the land-based, the sea-based, the HAARP. I mean, there are documents, there are photographs in this book. It is very much like a textbook, I have to say, Alana. I mean, this is a study in geoengineering and some of the agenda. I got to ask, though, with your background in writing, what was it that made you decide that you wanted to write this book? What is it that you hope people take away from this one? And then we'll talk a little bit about the one that you're working on next as well.
Well, there's a kind of mystery story behind that. I remember as a young, I don't know, I think I was 12 or 13. I remember one day, I was always a very studious child. I was skipped grades. In those days, they skipped bright kids. And so I was reading a book about something, and suddenly I realized that my initials, EMF, are, gee whiz, that's like electromagnetic force or electromagnetic field. And so that was the first thing. Then years pass, I do many things, Waldorf, et cetera. And then I did some editing for Adam Parfrey at Farrell House, while I was living in England. And when I got back, a few years later, I went to Santa Fe and lived, and one of the people I knew introduced me to a scientist named Clifford Carnicom.
Okay.
And I was already, collecting materials because, you know, I'd spent 10 years tracking down what had happened in the Cold War for my Sub Rosa America books. And Clifford and his wife and my friend and I would go out to breakfast, and Clifford and I would end up having these long conversations about the chemtrails, and he would be explaining the Morgellons, and I gave him my my saliva with the red wine test.
Right.
He drew my blood. We looked under the microscope at how, and I had a biology background. I remember at University of Hawaii how we would be dissecting sharks. So I was very comfortable with looking under the microscope and seeing, and then my discomfort began, the Morgellons creature. At that time, Clifford had not named it. I watched it stick its head into my erythrocytes.
Ugh.
And suck the iron out of my red blood cells. So I know that people remember from probably high school science, it's a shame that we stopped studying science in high school,
yeah,
that red blood cells are the carriers of our oxygen. So it's no wonder that we have probably the worst health in American history now, in the United States, because we are functioning off of less oxygen, those people who have chronic fatigue, et cetera. So I already knew Clifford when I got back to the Northwest and went up to Port Townsend to meet Adam Parfrey, finally face to face, and he said, do you think you could write a book on chemtrails?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I had a pretty fat file on chemtrails and HAARP. But at that time, I did not realize the degree to which they were connected. Clifford and I had talked about how there was a pulsing and a frequency going on that he had detected coming from the skies when after the chemtrails would be laid. But I hadn't connected everything. It had sort of all sat in my head in different compartments. So I began the book. That was a couple of years ago, and it took me about a year and a half to do the research and to write it. And you're right that it's an overkill with the footnotes. It's like very daunting.
I don't think there's such a thing. I mean, honestly, I don't think there's such a thing, to be honest.
But people would be surprised to know how much is in open source on the internet. Mm-hmm. Now, on February 28, I think the internet is going to change, I'm sorry to say. But up till now, we have had open access to many military documents, medical documents, etc. And so I was trained in research in historiography, and I set to work to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is no conspiracy theory. So I call it the meat and potatoes book. It's the first book that anybody should read now, because I think I may be wrong. I haven't heard of any other books. There is one on the internet I'd like to check out. But I think it's the only book that really makes the connections for the military agendas that are hiding behind this technology that you see as trails in the sky early on, people had many health problems. Now I think they've toned down the dial on the chemicals that the chemical mixes that they're giving us, because they don't need all that chemical mix. But in the early days, in the late 90s, people were flocking to clinics and emergency rooms with respiratory illnesses and chronic fatigue, et cetera, because the mix was way stronger then, in my opinion. That's my opinion. But now, they've pretty much got it up and running. And I think what we're seeing now, because just a deluge of articles on geoengineering now. It's as if the dam has been released. And the reason it's happening in 2015 is because this is the year that we will have about a dozen conferences. One just took place under the auspices of the AAAS. And don't ask me what that acronym means. It's climate. that took place in San Jose. But everything's heading toward the UN conference on climate change in Paris in early December. So what they're getting ready to do is to put the stamp of approval on the program that has already, part of the program has been active already for 15 years. And now they're going to mainstream it. They're going to start making money from it in a bigger way. They've been making money on this through weather derivatives, but they're expanding it into the public consciousness that, oh my, we need to do this geoengineering and albedo effect. We need to push away the sun's rays, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And, you know, we have been wringing our hands over doing this for a while now, but gee whiz, we're going to have to do it. Well, it's already started, and it had to be started early before the rubber stamp, because they needed to test a lot of things and make it look good and make it look doable. Mm-hmm. See, I'm sure they're following the statistics of who's sick and who's not and who has Morgellons and who doesn't, or who has lesions and who doesn't, and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think that the advantage of reading the book is you'll get a bigger picture, and that's what we need. We need to really get the big picture so that we can adjust our lifestyles for the long haul here. Mm-hmm. This will not end overnight at all. This is the way we are heading toward a transhumanist future. And this ionized air that we are now breathing is part of that. And the ionization, just think of it as electrified. You can think of it as a low scale radiation. It is the way it is. I have yet to see a cloud that I think is natural anymore. And I'm very happy that somewhere there are blue skies. We actually have blue skies today. But if I compared this blue sky with a blue sky of my childhood, I think this would not be as deep a blue. So we have to retrain our perceptions, shove aside our cognitive dissonance, start studying. We can do it, even if the last time we had science was in high school. It doesn't matter. This is a scientific era. This is a technological era, and we need to get with the program to understand what we as a people can do about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get into the chemtrails issue, and I don't like using that word. I don't want people out there going to Google or going to Start Page and searching for chemtrails, because you're going to go to a whole bunch of misinformation sites. But one thing you might find interesting is if you do a search for, say, chemical or bacterial ice nucleation, you'll actually find companies that want to sell you that service. So it makes it real difficult for them to say, oh, we're not doing this, but we'd certainly like to sell you this service. And we've got these sites on the internet that actually do chemical and bacterial ice nucleation. But I want to talk about, you know, the totality of just the spraying operation for just a second. You know, how long has this been going on? Who are the parties that are responsible? It seems like they would have to be an amazing investment in logistics. I mean, just to coordinate all of this stuff. And then what do we think really is the agenda. You know, we're talking about Morgellons, and we're talking about one of the things that I know we're going to talk about later is this scary pharmaceutical development that's going on, where they're basically making these nano-sized capsules that they can put whatever they want to in them. And I see that as it'd be easy to distribute that by airplanes. But I want to kind of break it down with your research, just breaking it down to the brass tacks. Who can we name that's responsible for this? How long has it been going on? What were the agendas that they, essentially you thought it would be, or they said that they were going to be doing this for, and what do you really think is going on? And also, do you feel like certain portions of the population are being targeted? Like, is, you know, Morgellons more prevalent in the Southeast, or, you know, something like that? Are there different programs for different areas, things like that?
Let's start at the beginning. In chapter 2, I go into Bernard Eastland's, Bernard Eastland's HARP patent. Now, HARP stands for the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project up in Gakona, Alaska. It was a huge phased array that was used to zap the ionosphere in order to release more electrons, and then that power that they could derive from the ionosphere to draw that down for a variety of agendas. And that was a research project. I think in the book I say that the research project name is pretty much a cover story for a program that is simply military in nature. Of course, they went through University of Alaska at that time. But one of the big players at that time, the owner of the patents, all Eastland's patents, and by the way, Eastland is not the bad guy here necessarily. He's yet another inventor who probably trusted in the wrong place. That happens a lot to inventors, I'm sorry to say, like Tesla. Mm-hmm. So the Raytheon was the owner of the patents, and Raytheon is one of the top 10 military contractors in the world. Raytheon has been in the press in the, a decade or so ago for its workers. It has private security forces. It has a multitude of functions that it that pursues. And they were in trouble for, I think, pedophilia and even white slavery in some of the countries that they had been sent to. So Raytheon is not squeaky clean by any stretch of the imagination. So that's the kind of players that are involved in the creation of the chemicals, moving the chemicals along our highways in big trucks, loading the chemicals onto commercial airlines as well as military. This is a huge operation, and it has been, this operation came straight out of Project Cloverleaf. And Cloverleaf followed Popeye. Popeye was during Vietnam. We all know about Agent Orange. We probably don't know about some of the other things that were experimented. I mean, when America goes to war, people should realize this. Part of the reason, at least part of the advantage, is that they can now test weapons that have been developed over people that Americans are far, far away from, and Congress is far, far away from. So that's just the way it is. And we've been experimenting with chemical warfare, and that's what this is, chemical and biological warfare. We've been experimenting, let's just go back. I mean, we could go back to World War One. Let's just go back to 1945. When Operation Paperclip brought in thousands of Nazis, virtually thousands, and they were ensconced at our military bases and in our labs and our mental hospitals and all over the place. So that's how long this has been going on. But this particular thrust has been going on, I would say, since the mid-90s. As soon as HARP was somewhat up and running, and there's argument about when it was up and running. Was it 95? Was it between 95 and 2003? Was it in 2004? Whatever. The chemtrails, which are essential if you're going to be using radio frequency to activate an ionized atmosphere, those chemicals have been laid since the mid-90s. And that's, I think, the earliest experiment Clifford Carnicum was doing in New Mexico, which, as you know, is very arid, northern New Mexico, arid environment. There were a lot of chemtrails being laid there because it looked to me like they were primarily beginning to experiment in an arid environment, because humidity, of course, is a very large factor in radio frequency. You have to, you know, if you're going to use clouds for frequency and pulsing, they're going to have to be dry clouds, if you can imagine that. And that's what they were fiddling around trying to figure out how much they needed. I mean, it's been a long experimentation. And I would say that experiments are still going on, but they're more finely tuned. And you asked if various areas are getting different mixes. Billy Hayes, who was is known as the Harp Man because he worked on the Harp Tower and he worked on 250 other installations for a three-lettered agency that uses military or defense contractors. He says that the way that they do the chemical mixes, there are about a dozen basic mixes. Now, one of the things they also do is they do rocket launches, and lithium is often spread in that way. And think of it down here in our troposphere that we're breathing. They're laying trails, at the very top of the troposphere, and because a lot of those are solids, like the heavy metals and the polymers, and they're going to come down, toward the earth, of course. Mm-hmm. They'll get caught on wind drift and that sort of thing. But all of that is logarithmically, highly, highly technically, calculated. So yes, various areas, in my opinion, are used for different experimentation. And because, I mean, one of the things that really struck me in my book is, I researched when Croatia, joined the, NATO. Mm-hmm. That happened, I think, in the early 2000s. And it was the day after it joined, they had chemtrails.
Oh, are you serious?
The day before they joined, no
beautiful,
chemtrails.
Beautiful blue skies, right?
So that seemed to be part and parcel of joining NATO, because that was so blatant to me. And so, yes, I think over all NATO countries, experimentation is going on hot and heavy. Mm-hmm. And over America and Canada and Mexico, you know, et cetera, it's going on.
All right. Alana, I've got to interrupt you. I hate to interrupt you. We're just getting ready to go to a quick 3-minute break. So we're going to go to that, and then we will come right back. Our special guest today, Alana Freeland, we're talking about chemtrails and geoengineering. Keep it right here, guys. 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your coworkers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, T.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try iodine now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Exposing faux capitalism with Jason Earp.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank you all who are in the chat room. We are speaking today with Alana Freeland, who is the author of, I want to make sure I get the title perfect here, Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. You can find it on Amazon. And I'll tell you what, it's 4.5 out of 5 stars with more than 50 customer reviews. I mean, this book is fantastic, and it's not just me saying that, ladies and gentlemen. So again, you can find it on Amazon, and I highly, highly recommend picking up a copy if you have any interest in science or want to know specifically what in the heck is going on around us. This is going to be, you know, one of those books that you're just not going to want to not have in your library. I want to talk really quickly. We were just talking about Croatia and NATO, and somebody in the chat room said, hey, join NATO and you get a free chemical gift basket. That was really funny. But here's my question, though. So given all of the capability of the people there, you know, with a platform like that for dispersing whatever the heck you wanted, I mean, the sky is virtually the limit, and I don't mean to use that as a pun, but if you had to say what the main drive was, or like put them into some kind of ratio or perspective, do you think it's more weather modification? Have we moved now into the field of mind control being the main purpose of it, or do you still think biological experimentation is the main crux of the experimentation right now? What do you think about that?
Well, I think the primary goal is to keep the atmosphere ionized 24/7. It has to be ionized at a certain level, and that takes laying chemtrails every day, because many of those particulates on a nanoscale do eventually fall down. So they have to be renewed every day. Okay. And what it means is, with those conductives, now there are the metal conductives, right? That's the aluminum, barium, strontium, whatever. And those are needed to for electronic communications. And when you say communications, the normal mind just goes to, okay, cell phone, wireless, various military wireless tactic drones. But along with that, would, of course, you'd have to know, would it be mind control, right? It would be, and this is mostly for populations, not individuals. Individuals can actually have a mind control situation simply by a triangulation of a cell tower, a helicopter that is loaded with electronics, and their own 60 hertz house. I mean, you know, you need a triangulation. And that would be for individuals. So the ionized atmosphere is not so much primarily for the individuals. That can be arranged now that we have thousands and thousands of cell towers around us. Thanks to the military. And when I say military, I include telecom companies like AT&T, Comcast, et cetera. Right. They're all military. Come on, let's just face it. They look like corporations, and they are corporations, but they serve the military agendas. So the primary one in my mind is the communications. To think of it as you've got it over populations, rural or big city, and you now have an ionized atmosphere. You've got many conductive chemicals in the air, and you can stimulate those, ionize those in an instant, and now you can pulse that population. Now, Clifford Carnicom goes into detail at his site, and I highly recommend people go to his site, www.carnicominstitute.org. And I think I said this on your show last time, JD. Don't go to www.carnicominstitute.com because that's a disinformation site.
Oh, isn't that funny how that always seems to happen? What a coincidence. They have the same name. What a coincidence.
So you go there and you can find the paper in which he measured a pulse, that was affecting our potassium level. So when you're thinking mind control, don't just think, you know, voices in your head, somebody telling you to go and, you know, participate in a false flag event. No, it's also to undermine and experiment while doing so, much like the Nazis did at their camps, to see what happens if you pulse, you pulse that. I mean, every single emotion we have has a frequency.
Wow.
And we operate at the Schumann resonance, which is 7.83 hertz. Mm-hmm. And you start messing with our resonance, and that's not just humans, that's all of life on Earth. You start messing with that 7.83, and instead you're broadcasting something else to see what happens. That's how I think of it. That to me is probably right up there with being able to have a C4, which the militaries means command, control, communications, and cyber warfare capability for, quote, the enemy, whoever that may be, the enemy of the day. But it also has to do with us because all of life is a battle space now.
Right.
That's the revolution in military affairs, the RMA, that happened in the 90s. That's what it means. Everything is a battle space. There is no symmetric warfare anymore. It's all asymmetric warfare, and it utilizes anything in the environment, sort of like some guy breaks into a house and uses a knife in the kitchen to do his dirty work. This is where everything is militarized for opportunity, whatever the opportunity of the day might be. So that's the primary one. I mean, I've got a list here. There's weather, control of the weather is like the wet dream of all military commanders.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they've got that. Then they've got the electromagnetic operations that they can experiment with. You were mentioning what we're breathing. Yes, they have released many, many billions, trillions, I don't even know the number, of nanoparticulates that are sensors. We have breathed those sensors in. Those sensors can be communicated with remotely by some guy sitting at a laptop in Denver. Wow. We have breathed in microprocessors on a nanoscale. That is, of course, how the Morgellons creature, renamed by Clifford Carnicom the cross-domain bacteria, that is how it communicates with its brothers and sisters in your body and can be communicated with remotely by the same guy in Denver. We have those in us now. No one does not have those, not even in China, where they have a different take on this program. But they're pursuing this, too, and so is Russia. I mean, everybody has to now, but Russia, at one time, we were in league with them pursuing this. So I assume the Russians are very sophisticated by now. Then there's the military operations that we'll maybe get to this program of what I call the space, or what they call the space fence. There's biological chemical operations. There's planetary geophysical operations, and you have to include the oil industry in this too, whose platforms are regularly used for the SBXs, which are the floating golf ball looking giant golf ball things.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, but they look like Death Stars on barges, kind of.
Well, they are Death Stars. Right? They're small Death Stars. They're like HAARP. HAARP now has been decommissioned for what it was being used for. That is a true story. I have some data that could prove that. Mm-hmm. But, it was because the power was way too much, according to Billy Hayes. And now they have spread this system, now that they learned so much from HAARP, they've spread the system around the globe. And that would include the NEXRADs, the SBXs, the radar installations, military base, various things. Mm-hmm. So now it's everywhere and can be used more economically and more efficiently. What you're seeing now as the snowstorm back east, I was watching them get that ready out, 1,000 miles off the Pacific in what's called the, Pineapple Express out there by Hawaii. And when they were gathering that, and then I got on my Facebook site for my book, someone brought up that the skies over Nevada were really thick. They were really laying some big chemtrails. And then, you know, I heard about it in your state. I realized that they were getting a storm ready, because what they do is they get it ready. It's usually under the U.S. Navy, by the way. They get the storm ready off, way off the Pacific coast. They begin to feed it chemtrails. They build it, then they begin to shepherd it or herd it in a northeast direction, because they want it to meet up with the jet stream over Vancouver Island, BC, so that just before it will dip down into the southwest and midwest, and then they shepherd it along, feeding it all the way across the United States. Until you have a huge storm that will hit New England or even England. So because the jet stream moves in that direction, people should turn their eyes to some of the satellite collections of what's going on in the South Pacific and the West Coast. If California is wondering why it's in drought conditions, I can only say that California is utilized for this probably more than any state in the country, I'm sad to say. And also, as Jim Lee pointed out to me, there are so many military bases in California, so many, and they are all boosting off rockets loaded with aluminum in the J-8 fuel. So, you know, this is a very big picture, and once you can see, oh, it's not just over you, right. And gee whiz, this is a military program, and yet when you go into the media coverage of, quote, climate change or, quote, global warming or, quote, extreme weather, whatever you want to say, the media picks up on a new term all the time, never is it mentioned. Never. It just blows my mind. Mm. Never is the military mentioned. And that, my friends, is the proof in the pudding as to who dominates the media. That's how it is.
Roger that. I couldn't possibly agree with you more on that, Alana. Can we touch back on the NexRed systems? I think that's a system that people, you know, we hear about as this like, you know, thank God we have the NexReds now because now we can predict these storms. But in terms of pulsing, is that a part of the component of pulsing people, the NexRed systems that we're seeing put in everywhere? And how does that work?
Oh, yes. And please add in, so I don't forget them, the wind farms.
Wind farms, okay.
Yes, those two are pulsing.
Really?
Oh, yes. And people are suffering from them and being called loonies when they check into clinics. They are being pulsed. We are all being pulsed. Now, the way the NexRads work, because they are like the extension of the GWEN system, which people may not know, the Ground Wave Emergency Network that was up and running in the 70s. When Russia was actually, and it was the Soviet Union then, mm-hmm. was pulsing the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, was pulsing with their...
I remember that. I've got friends who are really into ham radio, and they used to have that problem with that reoccurring signal coming from Russia. I wish I remembered the name of it right now, because I'm not a ham guy.
Right, I'm blocking it too. It's in my book, and they were... Then they did a very bizarre thing in the research. If you really study those late 70s, you hear about the cancer rate at the U.S. Embassy. I think the primary ambassador died of it and others had it. Then a couple years later, you hear about Eugene, Oregon being pulsed and the suicide rate going off the charts.
Wow.
And it was around that time that a very interesting little factoid appeared, which was that in order to get the Russian instrument to be even more powerful, the United States shipped a huge magnet to Russia and helped them install it.
What?
So this was one of the clues that I picked up to realize in my early days of researching what history really was, that the Cold War was sort of a sibling rivalry. It, in order to pull money from people to develop the weapons programs that we're seeing now. It never really was the way the press told it. Cuba, et cetera. I think at one point Kennedy realized it, especially when he was sitting down with Khrushchev and they were planning to shoot for the moon together and do a cooperative venture. I think Kennedy realized that the main enemy was not Russia, but was the CIA.
Right.
And, of course, we know what that led to for him. But the woodpecker, that was the name of it.
Ah, that's it, yes.
The woodpecker was the first step toward where you could really see. You could actually, shortwave guys were picking it up. They could hear that click, 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 click.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So... the pulsing is the thing that I think of. I mean, I didn't finish the list. The sixth military operation is intelligence and surveillance. And in a way, Edward Snowden tried to warn us, but didn't really tell us enough, at least yet, that this is a very large system. It's not so much to worry about individual targeting, though there are certainly people who are sadly being individually targeted and will die for it. But it is much more the huge space fence system that is being set up, a global fence, if you will. And it's It started with SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, with Reagan, Bush, and Cheney back in the 80s. And then it graduated to where Clinton, the football was thrown to Clinton, and he renamed it. I can't remember the name. It doesn't matter because it's all – these things are always renamed. That's how they hide them,
right.
Sort of shell game. And now it is – this is the – this space fence will be the real apotheosis – of the SDI program. And what it will look like, I remember the day Billy Hayes and I were talking on Skype and he said the picture in his mind, you know, that these rockets are taking, they're not just laying these heavy metals down here in the, for the troposphere, they're also laying them in space. He said that someday you'll be able to look at planet Earth from space and it will look like Saturn. And that will be a ring of metals around the Earth, which of course will be used for communications. And I put communications in parentheticals because what are we talking about here? We're talking about wireless lockdown is what we're talking about. And this will go down into the biological level, to the genetic level, to the DNA level, and then that's the kind of world we will have. I mean, you know, this is layered. This is a layered picture.
Mm-hmm.
And for the sake of our children and our grandchildren, you know, I appeal to people to read. And I know, you know, they don't worry about us and having everything open source. They're not worried. Because they know Americans don't read anymore.
Right.
They know Americans are staring at computer screens and movies and TV and now the iPhone. Oh my God, we're talking mass hypnosis.
Absolutely.
Of the iPhone. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, let's surprise them and read and think and study and get together and talk about things. I'm recommending to communities wherever I do book tours to please, make a group, make a study group, make a reading group, make a book group, and read the book and discuss it and invite people in, you know, to share their expertise in climate or whatever. This is something that we need to use as an opportunity, not just a fear mentality.
Right, right. Oh, and I can't possibly agree with that more, especially if you get into your community level and start making flyers and putting them up. You just post a flyer up that just says, look up, you know, all over the city, and then put a little information link as to where your meeting is going to be and do a weekly meeting and get people together and start. Because I totally agree that there's a lot of topics out there that are very concerning to a lot of people, but this is one of the ones that's absolutely global. I mean, there's no place you can't – if we mess up the planet, as much as I would like to get off every once in a while because I keep reading these news articles that make me want to leave the planet all the time, we can't. There's no place left to go. So, you know, if we screw this place up and allow these people who are basically just doing open air experimentation on the entire population of the planet, we're doomed. We're doomed. You know what I mean? So I fully recommend getting a community level group going, getting your neighborhood organized and starting to really look at this issue because it is something that's going on. And despite everybody's cognitive dissonance, you know, they are really fundamentally spraying things above our heads all the time. And, I was talking to Fletch, my producer today, and he just is, I swear to God, the guy is married to his snowblower this season. The guy, every time I talk to him, I gotta go. We've got 2 more feet of snow. And that seems to be what happens, but he was telling me that, you know, just before it happened, a couple of days, you get all the big chemtrails. And the same thing happens here. It's been happening really, really predictably. I mean, you can watch the clouds go up, and then 2 days later, it's raining or snowing or whatever it is. And that correlation to me is just so specifically obvious. It really is, you know, we need to get on top of this. But I got to jump to a quick question, Alana, if you don't mind, from the chat room.
Uh-huh.
We had talked a little bit about Morgellons earlier.
Yes.
Would you talk a little bit about where we're at with the research on Morgellons right now? And people are wondering if there is a cure for it yet, if there's some way to get those things out of you once you're affected by them.
Well, I talked to Clifford last week just to sort of check in and see what he's working on. Right now, I want to make an appeal. I'm going to continue to make the appeal, and I might even do a crowdsource thing. Clifford needs a piece of equipment that will cost $14,000. It is a spectrometer, a very sophisticated spectrometer. He's been able to nickel and dime his way along for all the research he's done. And if you go to his site, KarnakamInstitute.org, you will see an amazing scale of research on a shoestring budget, because all the times that he's appealed to the CDC and the EPA to duplicate his work so that he can have peer review, et cetera, the usual way things go in science, he has been absolutely ignored. And, literally ignored. And so at the same time, I want to remind people he can see who hits his site. And at that time, he was being hit by approximately 150 alphabet, government agencies, per week. So
wow.
He was pursuing something. They well knew what it was. They wanted to see what he came up with on his own. It's just, he became another experiment, I suppose.
Right
now, he has isolated the DNA of the cross-domain bacteria. He's already gone through the five parts of it because it's a peeling away. The outer layer is the fiber that people see in their lesions.
Okay.
Inside are four other layers. The primary one is the cross-domain bacteria, because that is the one that reproduces at an alarming rate in an acidic environment. And that would include, and this is where I'm going to say to people, this is your responsibility. There is no magic pill, no. In fact, these things cannot be made to die. But in an alkaline environment, in the petri dishes and the aquariums that he has going, an alkaline environment puts them into stasis. They do not grow. They do not reproduce.
Wow.
They do not die. They're just in stasis. Because what cross-domain means is they are partially organic and partially inorganic. This is a genetic engineering feat that has been accomplished.
Scariest thing ever, Alana. I mean, seriously.
I know, and we are the petri dishes, and they are armed, these little cross-domain bacteria. Remember, they're armed with sensors and microprocessors. So keep your body, pay attention to alkalinity, go out and buy some pH paper, and pee on it in the morning, see where you're at. Start studying what foods produce alkalinity, what foods produce acidity. This is a way to certainly control it. I think that those people who are having the lesions, they are simply a step ahead of the rest of us. We all have the cross-domain bacteria, and we must be responsible for them. I don't know. I know. I had a tapeworm when I was 21. I had just gone off meat at that time. I'd become macrobiotic. And, oh, my gosh, I woke up with a tapeworm when I went to the bathroom.
What?
So it was approximately 3 feet long, and I took it to my chiropractor. I had a chiropractor at that time in Santa Barbara. He said, okay, I'm going to put you on pumpkin seed, pineapple, and, I can't remember the other thing, for 5 days. That's mm-hmm. all you're going to eat. So I did. And, then we checked in my stool sample, and, 10 days later, and there was nothing. So he said, you're clean here. But what it did for me is, oh, yes, it woke me up to the fact that I live in an animal body. And that there are parasites, and there are symbiotic, and there are non-symbiotic. And so when I saw that little cross-domain bacteria guy eating iron out of my erythrocytes,
oh man,
I simply said to myself, okay, little guy, I'm going to be responsible for
Alana,
you.
Alana, I gotta interrupt you. We are out of time. This has been such a great day. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, we're out of time.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.